Harry and Tommy are about to pick up your arvo with stacks of fun. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas at Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, it is. Welcome to it for your Tuesday afternoon. How are we, guys?
Huge show. We're about to welcome one of our favourite people who also happens to be one of our greatest ever Olympians, Grand Slam champ, superhero. He is waiting to come in with a huge announcement. We're doing that very, very soon.
Well, should we just get stuck in? Should we just do that next?
Why not?
Yeah.
Carrie and Tommy for your Tuesday arvo.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Tuesday arvo is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
The last time I interviewed this man, I asked one of the producers working if I could get just a quick list of all his gold medals. And I got given a three-page table that plotted all his different medals. And I said, oh, just the numbers. And she goes, there's too many. Dylan Alcott's here.
G'day, legends. Good to be here. Appreciate it.
Good to be here on a very special day for you as well. You've shocked the world. Tell us, what have you announced?
Yeah, I didn't tell anyone this, so I'm the new Bachelor. No. So I've decided to retire after the Australian Open, and it was actually funny. There was a press release put out yesterday, and it's like, Dylan Alcott has some news, and I thought no one was going to turn up. And then there was I just didn't think much of it, and I've just been shocked with the response being online. I've actually got a bit emotional thinking about it. But, you know, we've been friends for a while and you guys have known this is coming secretly but didn't really know when. And, I just – even if I didn't do the Golden Slam, I was doing it. But
why? Why now?
I just feel like, you know, it's my turn to move on. There's so many other awesome Paralympians and you should know their names. And maybe you do now after the Paralympics. And I'm the luckiest person I've ever met. And it's because of – you, everybody that supported my journey. Like, I said it today, my first Australian Open, there was four people there. And now we're on TV, we're broadcasting it, and I can still do my purpose, which is, you know, changing perception so people with disability can live the lives they deserve to live without winning tennis tournaments. And being a good tennis player is like the 30th priority on my list of life achievements. And it's time to do some other stuff. I love this broadcast. I love doing this stuff as well. And you both know it's hard to spin all the plates, and
especially in a tennis champ plate. Like, it's not just you got a little thing happening on the side. Like, when it's the training involved and travel.
Exactly right. When I drink 20 beers, I got to get up and train. You guys can just sleep. You too. You guys got the afternoon shift. You'll be fine. So it sounds silly, but to have some guilt-free beers and go on a holiday, things I haven't done in years, I'm looking forward to it.
But you're going out with one more.
Aussie Open, yes. I'm not retired just yet. We'll do the Aussie Open in 2022. Obviously, you know, crowds and all that are back.
I
know, and Melbourne deserves a party. Australia deserves a party. I think that's going to be one of the first big, big ones that everyone gets around. So, yeah, you know, I've stolen the limelight and it's now about me. No.
You've spoken so much about this before, but how much did tennis change your life?
Oh, I owe it everything. Like, people might know me as who I am now, but I used to hate myself to the core. Like, sit at home, play video games, eat junk food, embarrassed to leave the house because I was different. And, you know, that can be really hard for so many people with difference, but disability is a big one that you can't really hide with a different haircut or something like that. So, I hated myself. And finding people like me who had a purpose, who were smiling, who were married, who could drive a car. Like, I went to a tennis tournament when I was 11 and I saw all of that, things I didn't know I could do. Because when I turned on the TV, I saw people like you, Karen, like you told me, I didn't see people like me and I didn't know what I could do. And without sport, I don't think I'd be sitting here at all, let alone here talking to everybody today. So, like, it's just huge. And I just want to leave the sport in a better spot for the next generation. And I feel like I've done that and that's what I was meant to do. It sounds weird, but I don't count Grand Slams, gold medals. You know, I don't care like as much. The what I get out of bed every day for is to be a good advocate for my community and just be myself and be proud of who I am and stuff. And you know, the tennis has been that avenue for me, so I'm forever grateful. And then I say I don't care about the gold medals, but
you brought them with you.
There you go. There it is. Chuck it on, Tommy.
Is it heavy?
Feel it.
It's heavy.
And
feel that.
I feel like a bit of a.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's the. I feel how much of a. I feel like an idiot saying this, but it's the best of my gold medals because I got four.
Yeah.
And it's the best of them.
Which one's the worst of your golds?
Oh, we don't name names. It was Rio.
Yeah. How does Chantel feel about the idea of life without you traveling and, like, you know?
Oh, she would have broken up with me if I didn't do it. Like, it's just, like, it's just such a commitment.
Of course.
And I owe everything to, I always say we did it. I was like, you did it. I go, I didn't do it. Like, I do the easy part, which is hitting tennis balls, my part, like Chantel, my family, my team, my friends, like, you know, even just being, like, it's the first news story today, like a Paralympian stopped playing tennis. Like, I just didn't think that stuff like that happens. So it's a big team effort and we all deserve to get our life back. And we're looking forward to it.
Well, we thought people might want to get involved. It's so many years that you've been, you know, amazing us with everything you've been doing. We thought people might, after hearing the news, have some things to say and thank you. So 131060, give us a call.
I work in radio. No one will probably call.
Oh,
and
mate,
I'm like, it's such a big deal.
Mate,
oh, thanks for everyone.
You've been changing lives along the way. 131060, call us and, yeah, show Dylan all of your love.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Tuesday, Arvo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And we are still joined by Aussie superstar Dylan Alcott,
who has just announced is going to retire after the 2022 Australian Open.
I can't take you as serious as I normally do because you are wearing my gold medal.
Yeah, and this is a sign that I'm definitely...
It doesn't work on him, does it?
It's a sign that I'm definitely not an athlete. It's quite heavy and it's making my neck a bit sore.
Did you know he has broken ribs and a partially collapsed lung?
Yeah, he's trying to be my new doubles partner. He's only got one more chance, all right?
So many calls coming in for you, Dylan. Nat is on the line. Nat, what did you want to say to Dylan?
Hi, I just wanted to say a really genuine thank you. I am a teacher and I work with kids with a range of abilities, primarily teenagers, and, you know, it's hard for them to find their identity at the best of times. But the kids I've worked with have hope because of you, even on the days when they feel down. Like you said, you felt down. You may never meet them. They will, you know, they probably don't really exist in your realm, but they rely so much on people like you to keep them going, and I'm genuinely grateful to you.
Good on you, Nat. That's so beautiful. And that's why I get out of bed every day. And I'll meet them for sure. I want to meet them. So I appreciate it. And yeah.
Good on you, Nat.
Yeah, but just, you know, in random schools around the place, you make a difference to these kids.
Aww.
So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We've had a couple of callers call up to say, are you going to start coaching now?
Nah, I don't know if I'll be a good coach.
Why not?
I don't think I love it enough. The sport. Does that make sense?
You weren't going to be patient enough
or something. If it's not about you.
If it's not about me.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Like, do I get a gold medal if I coach? No. Yeah. So do I play a role? Yes.
Yeah,
so.
I would have smashed this kid off the court back in the day.
Yeah, exactly right. So,
g'day, Andrew.
How we going?
Yeah, good. You got Dylan here.
How you going, mate? Just want to say a big thank you for all your sporting achievements and all your gold medals and bringing home the trophy for the Australians in the Oz Open and another one next year, let's hope.
Mate, I appreciate it. Yeah, I know lockdown sucks hugely, but the only very, very small silver lining was the Paralympics was in the prime time and everybody watched, and I did not have one person say, like, you know, upset that we got to go away and do our jobs. Oh. Everyone got around it.
Yeah.
And Andrew, mate, I really appreciate you calling in. Thank you.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for your work.
Tanya, Dylan's here with us. What did you want to say?
Oh, Dylan, I just wanted to say a big thank you for being such an amazing advocate for people with disabilities. It's because of people like you that my son Rooster got involved in wheelchair sports. And it's changed his bloody life. And I just want to wish you and Chantel the best into the future.
Oh, I get a bit emotional, Tanya. That's really nice. And shout out. That's so nice. And I really appreciate that. I hope your son dominates the sport. But even if he doesn't go to the Paralympics, you know, just being out there with a purpose, getting fit, meeting people, that was the best thing that ever happened to me is meeting people like your kid, you know what I mean? And I was like your kid at one stage. So I really appreciate it. And thanks so much for calling in.
No, thank you. He's made amazing friends and had some amazing experiences and has, like, some of the best mentors. We'll miss you.
I'm also retiring, so your son doesn't kick my ass. See? I'm getting out on top.
Well, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. You're on the project tonight, so we will meet again, all three of us on tonight.
Mm. Who's the fourth banana?
Waleed.
Oh, okay.
Waleed will be there with us tonight. But, hey, enjoy that first beer post-tennis where you don't have to worry about the hangover the next day.
Yeah, I will. I love you both. I really do. When I was a full nobody, you always had me on and stuff like that. I really appreciate it. And to everybody listening, thanks so much for the beautiful messages, and I'll make sure I don't have too many beers with you both so I don't choke at this run open. I'll do my best.
Good on you, Del.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Tuesday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Coming up, you and I heard a childhood tale from an iconic Australian last night that left us both gobsmacked. I felt quite sad for this individual.
I was impressed, disgusted and deeply saddened.
Who is it and what happened? We will discuss next.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
For your drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Yes. Last night we were chatting with guest on the project, Virginia Trioli.
Yes.
Hosts mornings on ABC.
And
incredible broadcaster, Quanda. And we don't know Virginia like too well. We've spent a bit of time with her, but we don't know. So it was everything that she was saying was kind of new to us. And we were telling her, tell us about this and that and what happened there. And somehow we got into talking.
There's always also, I think, a bit when someone comes from the ABC, there's a bit of like,
we certainly give them more respect.
Yes, absolutely. I'm like, I'll listen to what this person has to say. They've got thoughts.
We got Hamish, now we got Virginia. Who else are we going to take?
Who else is on the ABC? Oh,
we had Charlie. He's there now. So it's reciprocal rights.
Yeah, it's a trade season.
Anyway, we were talking to Virginia. Somehow we got onto snacks and we were talking about food. I can't even remember how we got onto this.
We were just talking about what we had at school lunches.
And she was saying how her mum used to, at the beginning of every term, make all the sandwiches for the entire term.
For a whole term.
For a whole term. And each sandwich had meatloaf, chutney and lettuce. And then she'd put them all in the freezer. And every morning, Virginia took a frozen sandwich out and her mum would say, well, thaw in your lunchbox throughout the day. She had thawed sandwiches for an entire, that's 10 weeks since that sandwich was made.
Can you imagine? I remember, school terms sometimes are 11 weeks. Imagine on the 11th week that lettuce thawing out in your bag.
But perhaps because it's snap frozen when it's freshly made, maybe they taste the same 11 weeks on than they do 1 week on, you know?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Always bad, though. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, meatloaf, I think lettuce frozen is never a good idea.
No. I remember with my lunches sometimes when there was tomato, mum decided to get, because I used to have old sausages from the night before and cold sausage sandwiches with tomato sauce.
Would that make it soggy?
Nah, the sauce wasn't too bad, but then she went through a phase of thinking it was fancy to put tomato in instead of tomato sauce, which was a disaster.
And it would make it all soggy.
I was eating wet sausages.
So growing up in WA, often it was hot, and by the time you get to your lunch, and I never appreciated it as a kid, it was like it had been microwaved. And now I realise, I'd often have ham in those sandwiches.
Oh.
Think about warm ham. That's terrible. How did I not get like salmonella? Or
it's probably what made you tough. This is probably why kids these days are weak. Because they're not having 11-week-old frozen sandwiches that have thawed out in their bags.
But we want to know on 13, 10, 60, we want to know your lunchbox nightmares. What were you forced to eat? What did you discover one day? What have you fed your own kids?
Yeah, great.
Call us 13, 10, 60.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
For your Tuesday, Arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And on 13, 10, 60, what did you get packed for lunch?
ABC broadcaster Virginia Trioli was telling you and I last night off air that when she was a kid, her mum at the beginning of school term used to make all of the school term's lunches every single day, and it was a chutney, meatloaf and lettuce sandwich. Then she'd put them all in the freezer.
The deep freeze,
and a frozen one would come out each day, get put in her lunchbox, it would thaw out, and then that's what she'd have for lunch.
Isn't that upsetting, isn't it?
I had so many questions I should have asked her. Do you think at the time as a kid you realised that's upsetting?
No.
But only post.
No way.
I reckon I think back to so many of those things, and it's not till I'm older that I realise it's weird.
Yeah, like I think back to our pantry and we never had fun food in it because my mum was really healthy, and my mates at uni used to give me so much hassle about it was pickles and cans of tuna and Vitaweeds. Now I look at my pantry and realise I had a really sad pantry childhood.
Like, oh, we didn't, we had nothing. No, we had to go, if you wanted anything delicious, you had to go to Joel Davies' house.
Joel Davies.
Yeah, because they had like Tim Tams and stuff.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
Sometimes and we'd get chocolate biscuits, so they were orange biscuits covered in dark chocolate.
No, occasionally I was allowed to have one of Mum's teddy bear biscuits. You know, those, not even the chocolate-covered
ones. They're actually quite nice, though. My mum is an amazing cook, though. That's the difference between, I was going to say,
brutal.
My mum and your
You are brutal.
Only because you've told me she's not a good cook. Not
I've never
I've
said such things.
Food.
You are brutal.
Lauren, save me here. What's your lunchbox nightmare?
My lunchbox nightmare was curried egg sandwiches.
Wow.
I mean, as an adult, that sounds delicious.
No,
was it
doesn't.
Fresh white bread?
Yep, but it would start great, and then it would come to lunchtime and my friends would laugh and say, oh, Lauren's got egg sandwiches again.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
And everything would smell, yes. Oh,
that would make your bag stink.
Not just the curry, the egg and the curry combo.
Because also I'm thinking... Lauren, I don't know what your locker system was like, but we had like those metal lockers that were often in the full sun. Like,
yeah.
You were basically putting your curried egg sandwich in an oven for 4 hours before you ate it.
But I'm an 80s child, and that's what we had at school. It was Devon and sauce, and I didn't like that. Or
Devon and sauce.
Yeah. Egg sandwiches.
Good on you, Lauren. Thank you. G'day, Lisa.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Yeah, so good. What would you have in your lunchbox?
So my mum, we grew lots of tomatoes over the years, and she would make every type of tomato pickle you could imagine. Green tomato pickle, red tomato pickle, yellow mustard pickles. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, yum. That sounds yum, no. Yellow mustard pickle.
Gross. whatever roast we had on Sunday night, whatever meat it was the week sandwiches with... you know, a potluck of whatever the pickle was.
Pickles.
I hated it.
Lisa,
I used to sell my sandwiches to a girl who would give me a dollar, and I would go and buy a roll with tomato sauce on it and stuff it with salt and vinegar chips.
Oh, yum.
What? I'm interested to know which kid is loving the idea of buying from you a pickle sandwich.
Yeah.
Well, I think her mum was a working mum at the time, and so, you know, there was, you know, throw money at the child and she can just buy her lunch. And I never thought I'd get caught. And, you know, I got a bit lazy, and one day she actually asked me what pickle I had. And
your mum?
I had the wrong pickle.
Oh.
And... she was like, oh, I'm never going to make you another sandwich again. And I was like, best day ever.
Pick the pickles a pretty fun game, Lise.
What's that, sorry?
Pick the pickle is a pretty fun game.
Pick the pickle, but if you got it wrong, you know, you could be in big trouble. But
it's a bit of a pickle.
That cheese and veggie sandwich was great.
Good on you,
Lisa. Finally, Luke, what was your lunchbox nightmare?
Cow tongue and corn relish sandwiches.
And are the kids all trying to buy those off you as well, Luke?
No, I couldn't even trade it.
Mate, cow tongue.
What does cow tongue, how is it served? Like slices?
Yes. Like was there a tongue sticking out of you? Two bits of bread?
No, it's sliced up, but you still got the furry texture and it was never...
Hey, Luke, when I was in school, I remember I practiced kissing on a pillow, I practiced on an orange. Did you ever practice on a cow tongue?
Oh, definitely more realistic.
Carrie and Tommy. Yeah, that is me right for your Tuesday arvo, which means a paper quiz is coming up real soon.
Did you see that footage today of Jeff Bezos with his girlfriend meeting Leonardo DiCaprio?
God,
it gave me a chuckle. All the money in the world, but you're not Leonardo DiCaprio, are you?
No, nobody is.
Describe it for the people.
It looked like, you know when you would see, insert anyone here, Beatles, One Direction, and you would see girls trying to clamber over things to get to them?
Because they're at an event or something, the three of them.
And they happen to be, Leo's on a higher step, which adds to his already godlike status.
Yeah.
And this pest of a woman appears to be trying to climb up him to say hello. And then he shakes his finger in her face as in like, no, no.
But then there's Bezos, it's third wheeling, and he keeps trying to get a word in. No one cares what Bezos says.
The little human thumb next to his missus. It's great.
Made me chuckle.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm. Anyway, what's up next?
I've got a new radio game for you that involves something that happened in the middle of the night in my bedroom.
Oh.
And you've got to guess what it is. That's next.
Gary and Tommy.
Gary and Tommy.
Gary Bickmore and Tommy Little for your drive home this Arvo.
Because how was your night last night?
Best sleep I've had in a while, actually.
Really?
Haven't been sleeping very well. Addie didn't wake up once. I didn't wake up and lie awake and think about all the things I need to do in my life and I had a good sleep.
That's
I know you wanted a simple answer, but
no, that was great.
Sleep. Thank you.
I sent you a message last night.
You did.
Because I started watching Yellowstone and sister, I get it.
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner is cooter.
Dreamy.
My cooter Costner, am I right?
What is it about him?
Because he's got a helicopter.
No, I'm not into helicopters.
I am. That dude just cruises around in his own helicopter. I'm like, yes, please, Mr. Kevin.
Is that what you want to do when you learn to fly?
I have my own chopper. Yeah.
On your ranch.
Or I thought you were going to say, do you want to be a kept man to someone like Kevin Costner? And I was already loaded with my yes. So I watch Yellowstone, right?
Yep. Had you seen it before?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. First couple of eps and I watched that. And then I decided to go to my bedroom. And that's when... At some point in the night, things got a bit weird. I'm going to play you a sound that I have recreated that is as good as I can do with
it. What time do you reckon we're talking?
I'm not going to give you that at the start. I'm just going to play the sound to you and I'm going to see if you can guess what this might be, Jesse.
Oh, my God. Is that what I think it is?
One more time.
Oh, my God. I think I know what it is.
Do you? Well, should we go to phones first or?
We've got to stretch this out for a minute.
What do you think? What do you
if I get it right now? Do you want me to whisper it to you?
Okay. Sonda, you say
talk
something.
Talk amongst yourselves, Jesse.
Oh, great.
I hope it's not what I think it is, Jesse. Do you
have
an idea?
I don't think he would have been at work today.
Have I got it right?
Gary, I can't believe we were going to go to calls because I thought you might get it first go.
Is it not
when this is your answer? Go for it.
It sounds like, play it again. It sounds like Johnny in the bathroom and he started waxing.
He's seen Costner.
It was in my bedroom.
Oh, is that you making the noise?
That's something that happened in my bedroom.
But is it you making it? Or is he waxing in your bedroom? Or is Johnny not waxing?
He's not waxing.
Maybe you wanted a moustache.
Johnny is not waxing at all. Give us a call, 131060. See if you can tell us what that is.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on 131060. If you know what this sound is.
It happened in my bedroom last night.
So can we work out that is you, not your housemate, making the noise?
In my bedroom?
Yes.
So there was no one else in your bedroom at the time?
I don't judge, mate. I don't know what you guys get up to.
There was no one else in my bedroom.
Okay.
At the time.
Right. So I thought your housemate had started waxing because you've been watching Kevin Costner in Yellowstone. Yes. I thought perhaps he just...
Is he waxed in that?
I thought maybe he wanted to look a bit more Kevin-esque.
Do you think waxing would make you look more like Kevin Costner?
Kevin was pretty rough in that, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he's waxed a lot. G'day, Charlotte.
Hey.
What do you think? We'll give it to you one more time. Here's the noise. What do you think that is?
I know that I do this quite frequently, but dropping your phone on your face.
Oh, when you're lying in bed, so it just drops and hits you. Where does it hit you, Charlotte?
I remember one time it got me in the nose, and I'm pretty sure it's bleeding.
I remember Dave Thornton when he had his first girl and he was using his phone and he had her on his front, on his chest, and he's had greasy hands and his phone slipped through.
On his baby? And hit on his head. Yeah. Oh, no. I remember the first time I ever walked through a doorway with a child on my hip. And...
Wow, because you're a bit wider.
Because I forgot that I had extra...
You had a child on your hip.
Yes.
Charlotte, that is a great guess. Thank you, but it is incorrect. Let's go to Dylan. G'day, Dylan.
Hey, how are you?
You're good. What do you think this noise is?
I think that's you clutching your hamstring with a cramp.
Oh, the worst. I reckon, Dylan, it's a good guess. I think my pain would be more frantic.
You've been making a lot of those groans, though, with your broken rib.
I have,
You've been doing a lot of, when you try and laugh or bend down or talk or eat or do anything. Very old man-esque, your noises.
Is it? you think it sounds old man? You should imagine it feels.
Are you still sleeping propped up?
I was able to sleep on my side for a little bit.
On you.
Thank you very much.
Until the nurse came and moved you.
Yeah. Dylan, great guess, but incorrect. I'm sorry.
Millie, what do you think that noise was from Tommy's bedroom overnight?
Well, that conversation almost just ruined my guess because it was the fact that he may have rolled over onto his broken rib.
Ooh, Millie, I'll tell you what, it is a great guess. Because it does involve my broken rib, but it is not. It is not me rolling over.
Should we hear it one more time?
Yeah, one more time. Ooh! Should we go to?
The idea that you had to recreate that sound to this microphone is very funny.
G'day, Jacob.
Hi. Yeah, just a quick shout out to Romani.
Good man. Yeah, really good man. Jacob. Thank you.
What do you think?
It's kind of ruined my answer from the last person, but I was thinking it was a spider or an insect falling onto your laptop or something like that.
Oh, I tell you what.
You would freak out if it was a spider.
And you think that is me being scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jacob, I reckon it's a combination between you and Millie. Last night, in the middle of the night, I felt a presence on my forehead.
And I
got scared and I slapped my forehead as hard as I could, forgetting in that instant that I have a broken rib. And so then I went, and then I walked to the mirror and a giant moth had landed on my head and I'd squished it. So I smashed it on my head and then let out a guttural moan.
I wonder what Johnny thought was happening in the bedroom.
I don't know. He was too busy waxing.
Carrie and Tommy. You drive home the Savo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas at Chemist Warehouse.
You can go get anything you need from the pharmacy and then just shop in store, get all your Christmas gifts, or if you're too lazy, you can get home delivery.
Yeah.
Maybe click and collect. Whatever you want, get all the fragrances your family can love.
Because have you smelt Victor and Rolf Flower Bomb?
Oh, no.
It is delicious.
What notes has Victor and Rolf Flower Bomb got?
It's got more Rolf than it's got Victor. But it's something else.
Can't go past Jimmy Choo man, though.
Jimmy Choo.
100 mils for $59.99.
I didn't know Mont Blanc did fragrances, but that's a good start. You can get one called Legend, 100 mil, just $59.99.
You
good
know
stuff.
What
get into
these fragrances would be good for?
What?
Cleaning out the smell of a blocked toilet. There's nothing worse than when you go to someone's house and you accidentally block their toilet. Imagine doing it. Being responsible for blocking the toilet in space.
Oh, God.
That happened, and we're going to discuss it next.
Oh, Bezos. Carrie and Tommy.
Around the country for your Tuesday afternoon, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's time for Bickmore's Bits.
Here we go now.
Yep.
Ooh.
They're backdoor bits today.
Sorry?
Yep. They're from the poop chute. They're all
that was
related
one of my,
to number twos,
did you know,
but they're fascinating stories.
That was one of the albums that made me fall in love with radio, Poop Shoot.
Who sings that?
Martin Malloy.
Yeah.
They did Brown Album, Poop Shoot.
I used to listen to Martin Malloy when I was little too.
It really changed, went to eat your peas.
Should we start with the poo jogger? And
yes.
No, I'm not talking about producer Sonda.
Yes.
Who does poo jogger on this team.
If you've just tuned in, she does use her dogs as a shield.
Yes. She can't help it.
Not as an excuse, which would be a better way to use them.
Well, she can't help it, just like Tamara Torlakson during the marathon in California.
Tamara.
Tamara was halfway through the marathon. Normally, she likes to go to the toilet before she starts the marathon to clean out, as most marathon runners do,
because you don't want to be caught. You'd be out there for hours.
Absolutely. I do remember, I'll remember nothing more distinct in my mind than when we did the Point Pinnacle a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And we were at the start line, and my partner Chris had a cup of tea, a saucer and a cup at the start line that had coffee in it. I'm like, what are you holding? And he said, I have to go to the toilet. I have to have this coffee and I have to go to the toilet. Otherwise, I'm not going to make it up the mountain.
And did he? Did he?
I don't remember. Might have been why he didn't run as fast as he wanted to. He was clenching the whole time. But Tamara, halfway through, realised she needed to go. So she made the decision to her pants.
Yeah.
And she had to carry on finishing a marathon with it in her pants. She said that she didn't want to lose her momentum. She'd just come back from having a baby. Incredible. She said she had focus. She said she thinks it even made her run faster because she had it in there and was like, now I just want to get the
You'd be trying to get away from the smell.
She said it was incredibly uncomfortable, and she said in this weird way it made her achieve a new PB.
Way to stop other runners from chasing you down at the finish line as well.
That is true. It's true. Could she end up with nappy rash from that?
Well, you know who might end up with nappy rash?
Who?
The astronauts that are coming down from SpaceX. After almost 200 days in space, four astronauts are returning to Earth this week from the International Space Station.
Yes.
But there is a problem. So it's an 8.5 hour so mission to get back. But they've got no toilet that they can use because the toilet started leaking, they noticed, after people were taking pees in there. So, not pees as in the pees you eat. But
eat your pees having on the toilet.
They were going to the toilet and it was leaking. So. Yes. They've now had to instruct them to wear adult nappies for the 8-hour flight home.
Isn't that glamorous? Just stepping off to a hero's welcome with a nappy full of turds. Yeah.
And finally, my...
Sorry. You missed the bit about this.
Oh, yeah.
That it happened to be they just became the first people to take chilies into space and eat chilies. So they
That's the worst thing to eat before you then. Let's hope that the chilies have already passed through their system because it sounds like a spicy trip back down in a diaper, it says here.
Yes.
And they've said a little lingering burn. Oh,
because wouldn't that just sit there? Wouldn't it just be like pants on fire?
Oh, that's because they made the best space tacos ever with the chilies.
Did they?
Yes.
Oh, God. If you can have the bog fail on you at any time.
Not after tacos.
Chilies.
But this is an epic story out of Japan. After almost 30 years, staff and patients at a Japanese hospital have discovered they've accidentally been drinking the toilet water instead of the drinking water.
Oh, my God.
Apparently someone had incorrectly attached the pipes, and the drinking water pipes were connected to the toilet for nearly 30 years.
Easy mistake to make, guys.
I mean, what does that mean? Does that mean they're just getting toilet quality water, or they're getting...
It said the patients and employees would drink, wash and gargle the bog water.
Oh, gargling. See ya. I'm done.
Carrie and Tommy for your Tuesday afternoon. Coming up real soon, we've got $2,000 up for grabs thanks to McDonald's McSpicy range. But right now...
Yo, Jesse.
Yeah, dog. Yeah, dog.
You got that paper ready?
Yeah, dog.
Carrie, Tommy, do that quiz from the newspaper. We do the questions first and we get them answers later. Most exciting radio quiz of all time. Carrie, big more time and little, put your hands up because it's quiz time.
Quiz time.
Quiz time.
Quiz time.
Quiz time.
Quiz time.
It's paper quiz time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What paper you got today, Jess?
I have the Herald Sun from Melbourne.
Oh, from Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Okay, Melbourne.
I don't know where it is, but it sounds fun.
Which Jerry Seinfeld called the asshole of the earth, I believe.
Why? Did he not like it?
No, he was just making a joke. And then all the Melbourneians got offended.
Can you, as a comedian, talk me through that joke?
I think he just meant literally its position on the scale of the map. But everyone was too busy spitting out lattes.
All right, question number one for today. What is the female equivalent of the word fraternity?
Femternity.
Maternity. It would
sorority?
Be
sorority.
Sorority, yes.
Yeah.
Which Irish band first recorded the 1994 protest song Zombie?
The Cause. Oh.
Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah.
Zombie.
Hey, was the dude in the cause, was he the brother?
Yes.
Was he? He's just out tooling around with his three hot as hell sisters on the road.
I mean, that's
coming out tonight, Trent?
No, thanks. There's a little too much attention.
That's the best wing woman. Like, he's got all three of them to help him.
Bombshells.
Question number three. Which 2003 Bill Murray film is set in a Tokyo hotel?
Austin Translation. Scarlett
I stayed there.
That's right.
Yes, it's fantastic. One of the best bars I've ever been to.
I went there just to go to the bar. We couldn't afford to stay in the hotel.
A lot of people do.
But we went for a drink.
That's what a lot of people do.
It's great.
Question number four. Which Italian word can mean both a dagger and a high heel?
A stiletto. I didn't know it was a dagger.
No, I neither did I. Oh,
man, sometimes.
I'm learning a lot.
Stilettos have daggered my heart.
Are we going to get 5 out of 5
here? We are, definitely.
And somehow still lost.
Question number five. Which long-running US fantasy series revolved around the Winchester brothers?
That sounds like a
fantasy,
question.
Like Star Trek or something? Or...
No, it's...
Jared Leto.
They're not asking. Supernatural.
Good on you, Eli. Okay.
Supernatural.
Alrighty. Question number one was, what is the female equivalent of the word fraternity? It is sorority.
Good one.
Which Irish band first recorded 1994 protest song Zombie? It is the Cranberries.
What's happened to the Cranberries?
Which 2003 Bill Murray film is set in a Tokyo hotel?
Lost in Translation.
A dagger and high heel in Italian is a stiletto.
Oh, my God, guys.
And for 5 out of 5.
Oh, my gosh, which means we keep going.
Which long-running US fantasy series revolved around the Winchester brothers? It is Supernatural.
Yeah. 5 out of 5. Let's keep playing. We'll play again next. Carrie and Tommy.
That is where you're at for your Tuesday afternoon. And coming up very soon, one of our best ever athletes, guys.
Yeah.
But right now, we're in the middle of an epic edition of this.
Yo, Jesse.
Yeah, dog.
You got that paper ready?
Yeah, dog.
Gary, Tommy, do that quiz from the newspaper. We do the questions first and we get them answers later. Most exciting radio quiz of all time. Gary, big more Tommy, little, put your hands up because it's quiz time.
Hey, have we ever gone 10 from 10?
No, what usually happens is we come back and then we do really bad for the next 5.
Oh, don't we do golden goal from now? We just go 1-1, see if we get it right, next one.
Oh, do we? Okay, great.
Okay. Question number 6. Which Beatle recorded the James Bond theme Live and Let Die?
Live and Let Die.
Lennon?
No.
Harrison?
No, I reckon.
McCartney?
Yeah, McCartney.
It is Ringo? Paul McCartney.
It
was Paul McCartney. Question number 7. Which company makes the virtual assistant Alexa?
Amazon.
Amazon is correct. 7 from 7.
Jeez. Oh, my God, guys.
Question number 8.
This quiz from the kids' newspaper today or something.
Which state is Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz from?
Kansas.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It is Kansas.
Okay.
To go 9 from 9, Gillian Anderson won an Emmy for playing which politician?
Margaret Thatcher.
Yes.
Oh, God.
It is Margaret Thatcher.
Your mic's on, babe.
She's got very excited.
Whoa.
She's so good, Gillian Anderson. She's in Sex Education. She's amazing.
How about The Fall?
I haven't seen that. How about The X-Files?
Come on.
Never seen it.
We are 9 from 9 for the first ever time to go 10 from 10 in the paper quiz. The Margaret or Magritte? How do you... M-A-G-R-I-T-T-E.
Magritte?
Magritte?
Give us the...
The Magritte painting, The Son of Man, depicts a man's face obscured by what fruit?
An apple.
Oh, my God.
Do you know this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I would bet my house.
I think it's my hair.
It is an apple!
Well done, everybody.
What happens now? How about we continue to play on Friday?
Yeah.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
It's Tuesday afternoon. It is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, and we're doing this.
Oh, no!
Hot and Carrie.
So hot and hurt.
And Tommy.
Ow!
Can you handle the heat? Get the mix spicy, double mix spicy, cheese and bacon mix spicy, and spicy McPieces now.
Wow!
What do we have to do today?
We got to handle the heat. Yesterday it was eating hot spicy burgers, which were delicious. Today, Sonda, producer Sonda, has come up with a plan that she's going to blow hot air into our faces. And
sounds COVID safe.
Not her hot air from her mouth, from a hairdryer.
Oh.
And then whichever one of us doesn't look away and can handle the heat from the hairdryer wins for our gorgeous contestants, Renee and Natasha.
Who have you got?
Renee, you're there.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Renee. Sound fun.
How are we all?
Yeah. Hey, Renee, have you ever had a hairdryer blown directly in your face?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Do you think Carrie will beat me at this competition?
I am very, very confident and fingers crossed that she does.
Yeah.
I mean, out of all of us, I've had it blown in my face more than you have. Like the hairdryer every day during hair and makeup is directed at my head, you know?
I've had some blown in my face.
But you've had the experience.
Yes, you do get it occasionally, but I get it daily.
Weekends.
Know? Oh, yeah, when you go out.
Go out.
So if you get your hair done. Yeah. Natasha, how do you feel about Tommy playing for you today?
Come on, Tommy. You can feel that hot air in your face. You can handle this. You can do this.
There's anyone
just
that can
pretend to be a dog
face.
Out the window. Let's do this in the middle of summer.
Pretend to be a dog out the window. Okay, that's good, Tash. I'll try. So, producer Sonda, what are you doing here?
I'm going to hold an iPad up to your nose so I can measure it, which is actually an advantage for you because yours is so big.
Oh, and then I'm going to hold it'll be further away.
It'll be further away from your eyes. You need to look at me. You're allowed to blink because otherwise it'll be over so quickly. Mm-hmm. But if the first person that turns their head away loses, who wants to go first?
Carrie can go first.
Right. Are you ready to be blown on?
It made me laugh that you said that. Well, I'll tell you guys off air what I'm doing. So we don't have to do this on air, and then you start saying how you're going to measure it with the length of an iPad.
I wasn't expecting Tommy to ask me but anything. I had nothing ready to go.
Okay, so this is for Renee. What? Surely we can just
have a tape measure or something.
Anything, or guess.
I remembered to bring this in. This is for money, guys.
Okay, how hot? Can I test how hot it is first?
No,
I'm not allowed to see. Don't burn my face.
I'm not going to burn your face. Okay. I've tested it on myself.
I should have gone first because it'll warm up.
Okay, you ready?
Will it?
Yeah.
Jesse's going to time. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Set, go.
Your eyes aren't open. You've just got your eyes closed.
It's getting hot. Don't burn
She's
my
retreating.
Face.
She's moving away.
It's getting burning. It's getting burning.
What just happened?
Why did you turn your head away? Because I'm trying to win for Renee.
You just had your eyes shut the whole time.
No, they were blown shut.
Did they blow shut?
Oh,
great.
That was burning.
How long was that,
almost,
Jess?
Almost lost my lashes.
Oh, well, I'll tell you at the end. We don't want to give you the time that you have to beat.
Okay. Natasha, well, we don't know what we've got to beat, so good luck to us.
Actually, it's probably better that you took it. It's weird, isn't it? That really hurt, though.
Ready?
Yeah. All right, on your mark.
Started moving backwards. Yeah, sure.
Get set, go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like a dog out the window.
Ooh.
It gets hot, doesn't it?
Oh, not really.
Does Tommy get a schmucky?
That's so funny, Natasha.
Natasha, I did my best.
Oh,
I got the tongue wagging trying to absorb some of the heat.
Jesse.
Tommy did 15.96.
Ooh, feels good. Feels strong.
That's quite a while.
That is.
Okay. Because do you think you went over or shorter than that?
I don't know. I wasn't counting in my head.
I think you might have this.
Because you did 18.35.
Yes.
The money is yours, Renee. $2,000
Thank
of sweet,
you
sweet
so
cash.
Much.
Thanks to the McDonald's McSpicy range.
Sorry, Natasha.
You're the best. Thank you so much.
We're going to play again tomorrow. If you would like to play, carrieandtommy.com.au. Thanks to the McDonald's McSpicy range. Can you handle the heat?
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Now that the podcast's over, Carrie and Tommy could use an energy boost. Meet the healthy energy drink all Australia is talking about. No artificial flavours, colourings or preservatives. No jitters and no crash. Just 100% real metabolic energy. Dr. V, the future of energy drinks.